Well, that's a wonderful beginning. What wondrous love is this? That's what we celebrate this afternoon. The Apostle Paul writes, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, this afternoon as we celebrate his death, it really is a combination for us as believers, isn't it? On the one side, there is a sense of weight and heaviness knowing that our sins required the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other side, with the Apostle Paul, we say we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have been reconciled to God our Creator. So it's that mix of emotion that we come together today to worship our Lord. We welcome you to our Good Friday Communion service. Hope you've come with a heart that's tuned to sing his praise, to exalt him, because that's what we intend to do together, and then to take of the Lord's table together. Let's begin our time with prayer. You join me. Our Father, we are overwhelmed today as we think about and commemorate the events that unfolded on a Friday just like this one 2,000 years ago, when our Lord freely, willingly offered himself in our place. The innocent one, the only perfectly righteous one in the place of all of us who were guilty who would ever believe in him. Father, we thank you for the love that you demonstrated at the cross. But more than love, we thank you for the saving purpose that you demonstrated, that through his death you have reconciled us to yourself. Father, it's because of that that we are thrilled to be here this afternoon to exalt you, the saving God, and your Son, the Lamb, who is worthy of our praise. Receive the praise and worship we bring, even now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand together and we'll sing.
Hallelujah.
wonderful singing. Yes, you may be seated.
Thank you. sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior.
Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Once again, as we sing "At the Cross, Love Ran Red."
Like a flood comes flowing down.
invite you to stand once again. We'll sing In Christ Alone.
Now we get the opportunity to worship him through the ordinance that he gave us, the Lord's table. But before we do that, I want to read Matthew's account of the crucifixion. If you have your Bible with you, or you can reach one there in front of you, I invite you to turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and I'll begin reading in verse 33. Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That's the record of the death of our Lord. Matthew doesn't tell us in this context why Jesus died, but it's important for us to remember that as we take the Lord's table. The choir sang it for us a few moments ago. John saw Jesus coming at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus died as a sacrificial lamb. In the words of Isaiah the prophet, he was the guilt offering for all who would believe in him, so that God could be just and still forgive our sins. This is how he died, and that's why he died. And that's what we commemorate in the Lord's table. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins, in Jesus' words, if you've repented of your sins and believed in the gospel, if you've turned from those things in your life you know to be sin, and you have put your faith solely and completely in Jesus Christ, in his finished work on the cross, in his resurrection, as your only hope of being right with God, if he is your Savior and Lord, then this is for you to remember him. If you're here this afternoon and you're not his follower, you've not repented, you've not believed, he's not your Lord, then we invite you to watch. The Apostle Paul said, this is like the gospel preached in visual form. Take a moment now and prepare your heart. Confess your sin as the men come to serve us. Our Father, we are astounded by your grace. As we think about what happened on this day, on a Friday just like this, 2,000 years ago, when your eternal Son, who had taken on flesh, who had become like us in every way but sin, lived the perfect life, the life that you had commanded us to live, and then died. The only righteous man in the history of the world, the only perfectly righteous man, died not for his own sin, because he had none, but for the sins of every sinner who would ever believe in him. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come this afternoon to remember that sacrifice, to celebrate it and remember it in the way he gave us, Lord, those of us who are his disciples, we come to you now bearing our souls and asking for you to forgive our sins. Lord, you've already forgiven us in justification. You've declared us to be right with you because of the work of Christ. But now, as your sons and daughters, we come to you as our Father, seeking forgiveness for those things in us that are the cause for Jesus' death. Father, each of us individually, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would bring to mind those obvious sins, that we would pour them out before you and seek your forgiveness even in this moment and resolve to turn from them. Father, thank you for this wonderful pictorial reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus our Lord, in which he paid for our sins and purchased our forgiveness. Receive our worship now. We pray in his great name. Amen. As the men pass the bread, let's sing together. As you know, it was on Thursday night just hours before his arrest and the day before his crucifixion, that our Lord gave us this ordinance to all who are his disciples. We call it the Lord's table because it's his. We are his guests, and it's a reminder of what he did for us. It's a picture. It's the gospel proclaimed, as Paul said. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have repented, believed in him, and this afternoon you've been willing to confess your sin and not cling to some sin that you have every intention of leaving here and committing again, then this is for you to remember him. Here's how Matthew describes it just a couple of pages before his record of the crucifixion. This is Matthew 26. While they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." As they were celebrating the Passover, the redemption from Egypt, our Lord took those elements, the unleavened bread and the wine, and he committed them to a new purpose, signs pointing to a new reality, not the redemption from Egypt, but the redemption that he would accomplish the next day. And he took the bread and he said, "This is my body." Luke adds, "which is given for you." The Apostle Paul adds in 1 Corinthians, "which is broken for you." You see, that bread, a little piece of it reminds you, first of all, there's no yeast in it to remind you that our Lord had no sin. The bread itself reminds you that he was made like us. He had a body. He had a human body and soul. He was fully human while also fully God. And it was given for us, broken for us in his death to purchase our forgiveness. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember him together. Our Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the amazing reality that your eternal Son took on full humanity and lived among us for 33 years. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin so that you could forgive us as guilty sinners. Thank you that he stood in our place. And on the cross, he absorbed the wrath that our sins deserved on us forever. Thank you that he drank the cup and drained it dry. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your sacrifice for us. It's in the name of Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. As the men pass the cup, let's continue to sing.
On the road to Calvary.
Matthew writes regarding the cup, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. That's the heart of his crucifixion. It wasn't about the physical suffering. It was about the transaction that occurred between the Son and the Father. It's about his bearing the guilt of our sin, and the Father, as Isaiah puts it, was pleased to crush him because he was our guilt offering. That's what that juice reminds us of, that he was the Lamb of God. And what that meant is, as the substitute, as the sacrifice for us, he needed to bear the sentence that we deserved, death and the wrath of God, and he bore them in our place. He drank the cup so that there's none left for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember him together. Father, thank you for the fact that our Lord was faithful to the end, that he was able, after those 6 horrific hours of suffering, not primarily even the physical suffering, but enduring separation from you, suffering as the God-man, what only he could suffer, an infinite amount of your wrath deserved by us forever in those dark hours on the cross. Thank you that he paid it all, and there's none left for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come, to leave the glories of heaven, to offer yourself for us. Help us to be faithful, to follow you, to love you as Savior and Lord until you come for us or take us home. And Father, I pray for those who are here this afternoon who don't know you. What better day, Lord, for you to draw them to yourself, to make them your own, than the day we commemorate and remember your son's sacrifice. I pray that even today, some would leave this place having sung the gospel, having heard the gospel, having seen the gospel in the Lord's table, and before this day is over, they would cry out to you to reconcile them to yourself through the death of your son. Lord, we pray that you would accomplish that for the glory of your name. Thank you for Friday. Thank you for Good Friday. Thank you for the death of your son. But Father, thank you that that's not the end of the story, that Sunday is coming. We thank you, Father, that you raised him from the dead. We love you, and we can only cry out with all of our hearts, we owe you our all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it has become our tradition on Good Friday at the end of our communion services to stay where we are for a moment and to hear Amazing Grace played through twice on the bagpipes and just to contemplate what happened on this day and what we've celebrated together. And then after that, you are dismissed.